welcome to Sometimes Heroes, Season 2, Episode 51.5. My name is Mark, and I am talking, so that must mean it's an out-of-character episode. Normally, I play Geesh, but today I am me. Let's go around and see who's here.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and normally I play Galena, and sometimes I play Iria, but today I play Amanda.
Hello, I'm Alex. Just Alex. Normally I'm Dupe. Now I'm Alex.
Hey, I'm Winter, and usually I play Sariel, but today I'm just in pajamas stressing taxes.
Oh no.
Hello, I am Molly, and I play everyone's favorite character, who does not need to be named, because she's everyone's favorite, and is definitely the most famous and beloved.
Undoubtedly.
I wish there was a camera for this, because you could all see how hard I was deadpanning Molly when she did that.
And I'm James. I'm generally all the other people that you ever hear, and the voice that you get most tired of.
I bet it's still me that they get most tired of. Anyway, yeah, so it's really great that I'm hosting this episode. This is an out-of-character episode, because we're taking a break from Sometimes Heroes, despite how much that makes me sad. You guys want to tell them why?
Oh, is this on me? This is on me.
Oh, it's to whoever wants. I mean, it's for most
of us. I mean, it's on more than one of us. We've all got stuff going on.
But, I mean, we can go down the list from top to bottom if people want to lay out the business.
Okay. Yeah, I'm at the bitter end of my grad program. I have comprehensive testing and a whole bunch of other junk going on. And it would be great to be working to get paid before we start again. Because right now, I have a lot of work not getting paid. And that, along with editing and planning the episodes and all that, is a little bit much. And scheduling is a nightmare.
James has described some of the stuff he needs to do, guys. And honestly, I'm pretty sure I'd be pulling out my fingernail suppliers if I was in his shoes. It's pretty terrible. Did you want to add to it, Molly?
I'm so busy being popular, and everyone's just constantly beating down my door trying to get me on their schedule, and it's very overwhelming, and it's quite a burden. But also, I'm getting married, and
yes!
I have a wedding to plan. Woo! And I am also, like James, I'm also in grad school and working two part-time jobs, and we are at a point where it is really difficult to make everybody's schedules line up because everybody is busy at different times.
Yeah, and our schedules keep changing. Yeah.
I'm also working two part-time jobs and in grad school, but I'm not getting married.
I have a job that has weird hours.
I like that we're just that extended awkward pause.
What?
Any? I feel like we don't need to explain that more.
That single life, get it, girl.
Oh. But yes, real life is kicking our asses to make it succinct.
I just wanted to say one thing. Alex has been a peach. He's been just there when we need him. We were like, one of our players disappeared into the ether. Hey, can you come play? And he's like, sure.
He's been helping James with audio editing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex got promoted. Alex got promoted without any warning and has been a great sport.
And also, to his credit, he's been very able to make time to play. So thank you very much, Alex.
I mean, I have no life, so, you know.
Well, he works a normal 9-to-5, like a functional human being.
Wait, what? No, that's not allowed in this group anymore. Now that Eric is MIA and I quit my job, no full-time job, no 9-to-5s allowed in the group anymore.
Well, it's actually a 7-to-4, so...
Oh, well, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess that's okay. So, listener, now you know that real life's been kicking our butts. Let's talk about what's happened in terms of the game. Not our real life, because that's so much more boring than the game. I guess we'll just go down the list from top to bottom in the team speak about how we think everything went. But I lied, because I'm not going to go first. We're going to go from bottom to top. Amanda, how do you think it all went? As open-ended and ambiguous as that question is.
Okay. It went not how I was expecting.
Well, that begs the question, what were you expecting?
I guess when I started playing Sometimes Heroes, emphasis on heroes, I expected us all to end up saving a lot of people and being heroes and being good. Not to say that not all of us weren't good, which sounds weird, but I think Galena ended up, she started out as like a neutral good or chaotic good. She's not good aligned now. So yeah, so I'm just surprised that we're just...
What you're saying is the name I suggested of Sometimes Heroes was aptly chosen.
Yeah, we released like a Lovecraftian chaos insanity thing. And
we didn't release it.
Well, it was kind of our fault.
Someone else was releasing it, and we didn't let them close the tap is what happened. So someone was already flooding the basement, but we didn't let them turn it off in time. This is not the part where you ask where the baddies went.
Wait, what?
I'm waiting my turn. I'm being good.
But go on, Amanda.
I completely forgot what I was just about to say.
That we truly are sometimes heroes.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that we were a lot dumber than I expected us to be.
All of this stuff in mind when you, especially near the end where we weren't playing every week.
I completely forgot about the stupid orc army. But anyway, Winter, how do you think it went?
Oh, surprisingly well. And even though I think it kind of became my catchphrase to be like, are we the baddies? I didn't mind the occasional moral ambiguity. I think James ran a really solid game. I'm proud of us, y'all.
Yay.
No one died, or at least, like, died permanently.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that's,
is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
That's another surprising thing.
I did my best.
I think Dupe
kill
was...
kill us or run a morally ambiguous game?
Because, oh, to kill yes. you guys.
I think Dupe was almost very, very dead, but that zombie rolled bad. Am I right, James?
I have something to say about that, but we can wait till later when we're talking about other things. Specifically leaving things up to the dice and when... we'll get to it.
Okay. So, Alex, what did you think, besides disorienting, because you came into the shuffle?
Oh, well, it wasn't that disorienting, because I was following along anyways.
My only dedicated listener. No, I'm sure there are several of you.
I have two friends who were pretty dedicated.
You see that, guys? He was a dedicated listener, and he ended up being in the friggin' show.
Yeah, my fiance doesn't even listen to the show.
Aww. Don't throw that out there, Mark. I'm not inviting you on the show, listeners. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying these are very two interesting points of information.
Oh, you're just leaving them to come to their own conclusions. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm letting them, you know, make these erroneous conclusions. But I'm sorry, as you were saying, Alex?
I guess as myself, I mean, yeah, it went much better than I thought. I definitely thought Dupe was going to die, which is okay. I think I kind of would have preferred that he died, actually, in some ways.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that later. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Not on my watch.
I think Dupe is probably not happy with how things went at all, but yeah. I'm not Dupe right now.
I can't lose another dwarven bro.
But as a player, how do you just, I mean, did you feel good about it?
Yeah, definitely. I guess after probably Dupe accidentally summoned an angel, I thought everything was going to go to and it kind of did, but not to the extent that I was expecting.
That was an awesome moment. We don't want to sidetrack too much. But okay, what about you, Molly? How do you feel it all went?
I think it went better than expected, all things considered. I feel like I really shouldn't complain. We survived, and honestly, that was by the end about as much as I could hope for, so yay us.
How do you feel about what happened with Quinn, Eden's brother?
Good, in the sense that I'm glad he was found, I'm glad the two characters reconnected, I'm glad I figured out what the F was going on, and I'm glad that they kind of sort of rekindled their relationship. I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty that can and would happen after the curtain closed on this season, but I am relatively pleased.
I like that we gave them just at least a little tiny, teeny tiny baby chance at redemption by being like, look, you gotta help these folks out if they're trying to get out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess I'll go next, and then you can be the last one to speak, James. How do I feel about, I guess all of this or season two? All of this, I enjoyed the hell out of it, to the point where I would be sad if we didn't play, because I'm that big a loser.
That's not
nerds.
No. I love D&D, and I would be also very sad if we stopped playing entirely.
No, I mean if we missed a week, I was sad. And I'd be like, okay. Oh no, D&D Nerd. This week. This season, I don't know. There was a lot of moments where, like, and I know you like when we try and be honest about things that normally get edited out of podcasts and stuff. So I'll be personal for a moment. Is like there was a lot of choices. I feel like he's is sort of the I guess the guiding force, for lack of a better term, where I made a choice, and like hours later I'm like, oh god, I shouldn't have done that, and I would agonize over it, which is silly because I need to make sure I'm able to disconnect myself from the intenseness or the heat of the situation. But now I'm like, yeah, I mean, not all the things came out the way I would have liked or I would have gotten all the outcomes I would have hoped for, but I feel pretty okay with it. I mean, this is Umbria, right? Is the king is there, but that Oblak isn't all of Umbria, right?
Oh, the country you started in was Medina, and that right. Oblak was the capital. You left that country, went through the Vale, and you went into Umbria. Umbria's capital is Black Hill.
Black Hill, there we go, sorry. I mean, so they only just took Black Hill, they didn't take all of Umbria, right?
Yeah, for now.
For now, right. Yeah, I would have really liked if we could have found a way to get, like, some sort of peaceful resolve, and, like, a dummy I forgot to, well, I mean, as Gija, I forgot to hold the queen to it, because, like I said, I think, at least I did, I forgot that there was still the orc army waiting to come in. It could have gone a lot worse, as many of you have echoed.
That's true.
And I guess sort of to throw back to what Amanda said, I kind of like that there's moments where our characters seem kind of like dirtbags, and then we do something heroic, and given that sort of, what the hell are these people doing? Oh, they're kind of trying to be heroes. This outcome is sort of like that. We didn't really save everything, but we kind of did a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah, I think you guys did well.
Now, what do you think, James? How that all went?
So, it didn't go the way I planned.
Of course not.
For numerous reasons. Probably
shocking.
Chief... yeah. Probably chief among them, one of the more... I would say I try to give people varying degrees of spotlight and varying degrees of the campaign. And so, right when Sten and Eric were supposed to be, like, center stage, he disappeared.
Yeah.
And so that involved me kind of scrambling for a minute, and I don't know how much that shows, but the story changed significantly from what I was initially intending. There was going to be more of a clear-cut choice of which side are we helping, because Molly's character, Eden, has a very clear in with the people of Black Hill, and Sten had a very clear in with the people of the Presh Swy, and so I was hoping to make you two catfight it out with...
That would have been something.
With Sariel as the ref.
Which is smart, because she's the reasonable one.
Overall, I feel like it went better than I expected, and I feel like you guys did very well, because I intended the first arc to be kind of linear, and you, with a clear conclusion from the beginning, you know what you're doing, and there's the goal over there. There's a bunch of things to trip over on the way, but you're going to do the thing. And this one, I didn't give you a clear outcome. There was a conspiracy, and you guys did your best to investigate it, and you blew it wide open. Good job. And saved some people.
And you blew it. Pause. Wide open.
Something like that. There were some things that I feel like I shouldn't have done in the final episode. Specifically, I feel like I short-shrifted Dupe and Alex, because he had set up this arc of this, I'm gonna do something epic and join my brother in the afterlife. And in the end, when he's in a position to die, and you guys, it's one of those things where it's which player has more sway. And I feel like even though everyone else didn't want him to die, if Alex thought it would be narratively cool for his character to die, and you were saying that earlier, right?
Yeah, just not by a zombie.
and that's what I was thinking of. In the moment, I really should have had, rather than just rolling dice to see who saves and who doesn't and all that, and hope for the dramatic outcome, if Alex wants his character to die in an epic fashion, I should have just had Moop just show up, blast the zombie away, and be like, my brother doesn't die to a zombie. He died fighting an eldritch god and the empress at the same time, and then just, like, dragging Dupe's soul to the afterlife. Like, that's my main regret of this entire season. But I also kind of like the idea of Dupe being a Death Seeker and just, like, just can't die. He's too cool.
Yeah, I mean, the part of me that doesn't mind him being alive is just because, well, I mean, the listeners and all of you, except for James, aren't really going to understand his other motivations for living.
Yeah, because they hear my whole home game.
Yeah, but he does have other questions that he would like answered, so since he is still alive, maybe those questions will be answered, or maybe not, who knows. But if he was dead, they would probably definitely not be answered.
Yeah, and the other thing I feel like was something I shouldn't have left up to chance and just rolled randomly on, because it's only a 5% chance, but if that 5% chance is going to mess things up, don't roll. That's my advice as a GM, just coming out of nowhere. If you can't do that with your story and it will mess things up, I shouldn't have been rolling death saves for the Empress. I should have just been like, the Empress is dying slowly. If you don't do something, she will die. But instead, I was rolling death saves for her, and so she got back up again, and I feel like that forced Mark into making it a decision that he wasn't super ready for, and it made him make it quickly. Instead of having a body to deal with, he had an enemy that could hypothetically slap him, and he would go down.
Yeah, that surprised me. When you're like, she's doing death saves, I'm like, what? What? No one's ever enemies haven't done death saves before. What is this? Kiss, what? Yeah, I think she recovered on the second one, right?
Yeah, she rolled a nat 20 on the second one, and that when you do that, you pop back up to 1 HP and are conscious again. And it's one of those things that, in retrospect, in the moment I wasn't thinking about this, but in retrospect I was thinking, man, I really put you in a hard spot. Whereas suddenly she's a threat again, not just a defeated enemy.
Since you mentioned that, while I was editing, I realized that she rolled her second death save before Dupe did, even though Dupe was earlier in the turn order.
Dupe actually was stable the previous episode.
I was very salty for all of, like, 2 seconds, and then I was like, I just realized I don't care.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I was thinking about editing the previous episode. Oh, Dupe saved, so he's not in danger. He's not making death saves unless he gets hit again, which makes it less likely that he's going to die. And I knew you wanted to die, and I really should have just asked you first, hey, do you want to die? Between sessions, be like, hey, Alex, what's going on? How you feeling about the game? Do you want to die? Because it seems kind of like you've been setting that up for the last 6 sessions.
ET Dubs, do you want to buy the farm?
Yeah. And if you're ever GMing a game, listeners, always be willing to just ask your characters if they seem to be going that way. Be like, now that we're fighting the last boss and it won't be lame that some bugbear killed you, are you interested in, like, really doing the epic throw yourself at the baddie to hold them off kind of thing or something like that? Because some players are into it. They want their character to have that story, and sometimes the dice don't agree, and it's better to just have that be a narrative thing.
Man, now I feel kind of bad I tried so hard to save him.
Well, and that's another thing, is other players assume that they're like, my character's awesome. I don't want my character to die. So clearly, he doesn't want his character to die. So they pull out all the stops to save them. And when that character's thinking to themselves, I'm doing the awesome Gandalf, I'm going to hold off the demon moment, and you guys aren't leaving. Please leave. And then the whole party dies.
Of course, the reason Guige would save him is, one, because that's what Guige would try to do. And two, we had set up that storyline of Connor's aunt and Dupe wanting to find her. I was like, oh no, if he dies, you know, he can't have a cool Connor adventure.
So right, and he's got unfinished business.
You're right, yeah.
Anyway, that's my main feelings. I probably have other feelings, but those were the ones that I was thinking of before this.
So let's just change it to a bit of a lighter topic, and we'll get back into heavy stuff in a bit. Let's go with favorite NPCs, and I guess least favorite NPC.
Oh no, I'm judging you guys.
Try to go easy on James, guys. Let's go with...
don't go easy, it's fine.
Let's go with Amanda first. Who's your favorite girl? Is it Galena's dead boyfriend?
I liked Greasy Sal. He was interesting.
I was bummed that nobody called on Greasy Sal to...
Oh, shit!
Because you guys had access to him all the time, and I would occasionally remind you guys, like, hey, you've got questions. Greasy Sal has answers. He just needs something as payment, which will be steep.
No.
But right, I feel like you guys were worried about what he would take.
Exactly.
Wait, what? What did you say, Molly?
I'm not about that. I ain't about that life.
Yeah, no. Yuji's just not looking to be in someone's servitude again. No, thank you. Sure, you want to use my horrible, like, eye curse for a bit? Yeah, go nuts.
Oh, spoilers. That's why he's, like, really high up in the Fae Court, is because he could see through everybody's BS.
Yeah. No, I got that.
Okay, cool. Just make sure.
Yeah. So Greasy Sal was your favorite. Was there a reason that you particularly liked him?
He's just sketchy as f**k.
And you like that?
I think that's fun.
Okay.
Alternatively, I didn't like Bogart because he was sketchy as f**k.
But you're not supposed to like Bogart.
Yeah, but he was still fun. And I liked the little spider cat.
Oh, Hecate?
There you go.
Yes, because I like spiders Snowball. And cats. Yes.
So Bogart was your least favorite?
He was my least favorite if I were to know him in real life.
Oh, so he was Galena's least favorite.
Yeah. Like, she tried to punch him and then ended up punching a horse.
Unforgivable.
I also liked, let's see.
Well, how about this? Let's approach it from the player standpoint, because I feel like with the game, people get a nice sense of what our characters do and don't like. So let's go from your standpoint. Who was your least favorite character?
Well, that's hard because I thought all of the NPCs were functional or interesting, which means that I, like, on a level, liked all of them. None of them were like, oh, this character was poorly written or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, there could have been something about their character that you just disliked as a player. Like, you're like, oh, man, that character just keeps getting in the way. It drives me nuts.
I think that she answered that.
Yes. Oh, no. The freaking little hobgoblin piece of shit.
Oh, the Nilbog.
Yes.
There you go, James. There you go. I think you effectively made a Nilbog.
Oh, yeah. So NPCs include enemies. So, like, just a person you fought, even if they didn't get a lot of time to talk.
So, Alex, who was your favorite NPC and least favorite NPC from Alex's standpoint?
For favorite NPCs that I actually got to interact with would be Oost. Monks are f***ing cool, for one thing.
Yeah.
I never want to play them because they're kind of scary to play to me. And they just don't really match the way that I feel like. But yeah, she was really cool. A favorite NPC just from the entire season, but that I/Dupe did not encounter would probably be Zelneheroth, or whatever the hell his name is.
Zelneheroth, yes. The Resplendent, yes. The Reborn.
I love that guy. The guy was amazing.
He was possibly my favorite to play.
I could see that.
Never has Geesh wanted to cut a fool so bad for so little.
I was the most surprised that he got away alive.
That was
right. How on earth? Why on earth would we kill him?
He's kind of a dick.
Also, because he was hella evil.
He was hilarious. Yeah, but being hilarious makes up for being evil.
Well, okay. He's like, I'm gonna get some slaves. I'm going to come back with a slave army and murder this thing. But you guys are my minions now, so go kill it for me.
Yeah, he was a great character.
But I guess in that context, James, sorry, Alex, it's just he feels more like the person who's an idiot and thinks they're evil. And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you go do that. Yeah, you go be the arch-villain of that Dairy Queen.
Yes.
Yeah, like yeah, okay, yeah, good for you. I'm sorry, continue, Alex.
Right, least favorite... Probably a tie between the king and unnamed angel.
Reasonable.
Arrogance is kind of frustrating, especially from really stupid people in the king's case. Angel, just, I don't know, that's not what Dupe was trying to accomplish, I was trying to accomplish, and in a way, in my eyes, he kind of f***ed everything up.
Right on. Okay. Winter, who are your picks?
So you remember that salamander? It was a wizard. A real bad wizard.
Oh, Sammy?
With the wizard hat?
Yes.
Oh my god, yes.
Sammy was precious.
Sammy Sosa.
No, that's a baseball player.
No, Sammy the salamander, who's the one person to have struck. The one person, as opposed to Grago Blackmoon, who is able to strike Sten down.
That's right!
He is,
oh man,
epic. Amongst the woodland creatures.
I kind of regret we weren't able to, like, end up making a small additional box and just taking him with us, even though he'd have no magical qualities and he would just be a salamander in a box, because we had such an attachment to him. So other than the obvious, why did Sammy resonate with you?
It's just one of those things where it's like, you've got all these characters that you should care about, and they have more dynamic roles, and you're supposed to get involved with them. But Sammy was just, like, a spaz, and it was great.
Yeah, Sammy was a joke character, because I needed five, but I balanced the fight, and it was like, oh, man, this is going to be super deadly with another CR3 creature. I'm just going to make a CR1/8 creature that can cast Firebolt twice, and then just has a garbage attack after that. And it's just like a goof, and gave him some flavor, and it was a fun time.
I loved him.
Who was your least favorite NPC?
Least favorite is a lot harder. I'm tempted to just poach Amanda's picks and be like Bogart.
I'm oddly proud that you guys are saying you don't like Bogart.
I mean, that's kind Bogart of the point, is, right?
Bogart is Mark's creation. It's from his backstory. Although I took some liberties with Bogart, but otherwise, I got most of my ideas from Mark.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dirty scumbag, but he's not someone who was bad enough that Gige would have vigilante gone after him. You're useful to me. You just kind of lie and steal.
I feel like in a lineup where, like, there are definitely worse people, I don't know, kind of a shit. There's no reason for you to be like this. Yeah. Are you such a little shit?
Yeah, you could have been a good guy. Why are you so terrible?
There can only be one lovable, dirty scumbag, and that's Iria.
I kind of now want to tell them Bogart's backstory.
Does Bogart have a tragic backstory?
Not terribly, no.
I bet his parents were rich.
I mean, should I just tell them the short of it, James?
No.
No, leave it a mystery? Okay.
Yeah, you're going to run Maybe into Bogart run... again. Okay. They can't know his backstory.
Okay. And then, Molly, who was your favorite and least favorite NPC?
That is tough. Favorite is slightly less tough. I think you guys might be able to guess without me having to say. It's kind of a tie, actually. First, are we talking about the entire saga from, like, April of 2016 until now, or just season 2?
Sure.
One of both. How about that?
Okay, yeah. Well, I feel kind of obligated to say Helga the Hedgehog.
Right.
But we met her so long ago that I honestly cannot remember if that was season 1 or season 2.
That was, in fact, season 2. It all kind of blurs
together. Okay, alright.
It was the very beginning, but it was still season 2.
Zelnifiroth is also a really good one. That one was kind of stolen from me. I had, like, a kind of a weird attachment to Zelnifiroth, because he was a very hilarious character, and James played him very well. Also, it was really exciting to get Quinn into the story, but again, I think I feel obligated to say Helga.
I really wish I had, like, another hour, like a second session with Molly and Quinn, to just, like, go around and go shopping or something.
Oh, yeah, that would have been epic.
And talk about girls, so you could be like, hey, Quinn, why are you so head over heels of the Empress? And then you could have made fun of him more, and then he would have been cool about it, instead of still being a puppy love dummy.
I do like that Gige and Eden gave him a little bit of bully, like, is this your first girlfriend? And then he just got so flushed. But anyway, who was your least favorite, Molly?
That's really tough. It's not that I necessarily have one that is a least favorite, especially since I'm more likely to have negative feelings toward NPCs that my character butts heads with, or I feel like is getting in my way, or getting in the way of what I want to do, rather than just being crappy, which is why I didn't really mind Zelnifiroth so much. By the end, the king was getting really frustrating because he was being a dummy poopy head.
Damn straight.
So go ahead and internet high five, Alex.
Internet high fiving from the East Coast.
Woohoo!
But that's probably it. I mean, I know that there were others, but that one is the one that's sticking out in my mind right now because it was so recent.
Okay.
I feel like nobody had problems with... Oh, wait. Mark hasn't gone yet. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Okay, so should I just do an all-time favorite and the recent, then favorite and then dislike and all that jazz?
Yeah.
All-time favorite, come on. Gotta be Connor. Connor's our boy.
I do love Connor. Connor is great.
How can I not love Fairweather? He's precious. He's precious wizard boy.
He's okay.
Now I wish Eric was here to say something mean about him as well.
Stay away from my adopted little brother. As we're towards the end, my favorite character, and obviously I have a bias, and because people don't know the background, obviously Odette, because that's a character, if we get to play that, you guys might see what exactly is the history there, and because I enjoy the idea of people getting to see more of who Gij is. Gij was the sort of moody character, and then Aleth came in, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me tone that back and sort of adjust Gij's role in this. But I think sort of also like Dupe, or I mean, kind of all of us are like that. It's a potential to see who they are when our characters are sort of closed off. We get a reflection of who the character is by the people that keep around them. Though I will say, you know, we made her to be this super duper badass longbow archer. She was extremely lethal when we were doing the sneaking mission with Stennis Fake Olo. And that was awesome.
I was so mad that she missed the Empress.
Yeah!
She rolled 2 and 3 on advantage. I was just like, what? That's another thing, is sometimes, especially if something's just, like, outside of the combat, a thing that players can tap, don't roll for it. Just be like, it hits. It's fine. Don't let your cool sniper NPC miss. Well, also, there are arguments for the dice as well, but I will, Mark. Continue.
Right. As were my least favorite of all time, or from earlier seasons, but I think the character the NPC I dislike the least, even as a player, is Kui. She just got on my skin. And both for me and Gij, it was satisfying to be like, yeah, you know what? You think I'm your backup? Guess what? Nah, you get to live. Now what? Riding around on her high horse.
Nothing makes PCs more angry than characters acting aloof and superior.
Gosh, was there someone... I'm trying to think if there was someone that I disliked in earlier seasons. I think probably Kui. I think she just... I generally like your NPCs. I think just Kui, you did a very good job with her. It just irritated the Paylor out of me. I was going to say Bejeebus, but I guess the Paylor out of me. And I guess yourself, James. Let's hear you dish on your own NPCs.
Overall, I enjoyed playing the goblins the most, partially because they were unexpected by me. I knew they were there in the world, but I didn't expect the sort of interaction between Sariel and them to go the way it did. And I've been, every time we're not playing, thinking of, like, what's going on in Hamels and how this, like, religion is spreading and all the weird stuff that's going on. I also enjoyed playing Zildjarath. It's always nice to play a ham, but I think my favorite NPC was absolutely Greasy Sal. Every time there was something you guys didn't know and could and just hit a dead end, and you're just like, well, this NPC doesn't know, and we don't, if only we knew this one thing, I was like, call Greasy Sal, it'll be great, someone will sell their souls, and it'll be awesome. I very much enjoy making esoteric plot deals, and probably secondary was Oost. I just enjoy playing characters who have a motive of their own, and are enthusiastic to be with you, but clearly are doing something else.
I'm sad that Dupe and Oost didn't get to kill a dragon together.
Aw.
I'm pretty sure she was an agent/spy for Grogga Blackmoon or someone else. But anyway.
I just remembered something. For sure, by far, absolute favorite NPCs, mushrooms.
Yeah! My beautiful, loving girlfriend plays the mushrooms. I read the lines first, and then she comes in later in the week and sometimes spices them up, but most of the time just says what I said in a better voice. And it is always fun to do those recordings.
Well, now here's the real gritty, dirty question, James. Who's your least favorite NPC?
My least favorite to play? I think my least favorite in the whole game was Ifrane. One, because it was a backstory character given to me by Amanda. But she told me that he was a lyricist, and I was like, I can't do that. And that's what he's about. And I spent hours writing lines for him. Hours, guys. And nobody talked to him. Nobody. And that was a thing that I just like stressed out for a long time about and ended up not doing anything with. But I mean, whatever. He was there to get punked. That's fine.
When we come back, I'll definitely interact with him.
Oh, no, I lost those lines. Don't talk to him ever again.
Nope, too late.
Well, I mean, in the little prologue, didn't you say something like he got kicked out of town or something? Or
yeah, I figure since Eden was now running the place, and the main reason he was working there is because Hobgoblins liked the way he performed. And since they're slowly moving out, they don't need him anymore.
Get wrecked, punk. There was one other NPC I didn't like. And strangely enough, I don't know which one it was the most, but I didn't like the middle children.
Oh.
Just about all of them.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Sketchy spy guys are generally to be disliked. I feel like if Mark didn't like them, certainly Guige did not like...
Typically, yeah. I put quite a bit of myself in the character. So I think Guige dislikes Bogart more than me, where I don't mind Bogart as much. So it's not always the case.
I'm just blanking on the name. Who is the character who got a true polymorph and actually changed genders?
Lorian.
Right. I feel like Guige and Mark disliked Lorian more than anyone else. At least maybe until the very end. I don't know if you changed your mind on that.
I think Guige was still bewildered. It's because Lorian was a representative of the elves. And the elves were just kind of barking orders at us. And Guige is like, what? What? No, I don't work for you people. And then once again, she appears again. But now she's one of the middle children. And she's still barking orders. He's like, what is this? I'm not your minion. I'm not your patsy. Which is probably another reason he probably didn't like Zilnirroth. Though I enjoyed Zilnirroth. So there you go. There's another character. I personally enjoyed Zilnirroth. Guige wanted to cut him bad. He wanted to cut that fool. But yeah.
Oh, I forgot. I loved playing the kobolds. The kobolds were my jam. Super enjoyed thinking about how they thought and how they would move and how they would talk to people and how like they were in this terrible situation and how they were just sort of hanging along with you guys. And the fact that you guys liked them made me like them even more.
I think it was Winter who named them the murder puppies. Is that correct?
It might have been.
It absolutely
If someone else did it, I definitely like immediately latched onto that. Kobolds were probably Sariel's favorite NPCs. And I'm sorry that I didn't get to stash that last one in a coat before it almost killed me.
Those aren't our kobolds. Those aren't Guiding Wind's kobolds.
It's fine. He'd be a good murder puppy.
Oh god. He's literally eating you. Anyway. but yes, the kobolds were great. Was there anything you guys, whether in your backstory or whatnot, or anything that you hoped would happen or that we get to explore that you might want to see happen next time? And we'll start with, once again, Amanda.
Can you repeat what you said? Everybody sounded sure. Like a robot.
Basically, like, you know, there's stuff related to our characters or things that might have happened, or maybe you spoke with James and you'd be like, oh, you know, something, you know, XYZ is going to happen eventually. So was there anything that you are looking forward to next time that we might hopefully stumble across?
I want to do more, like, music-related stuff. Like, sort of rogue-related stuff. I mean, continuing to play Galena, but using her skills as a musician to infiltrate...
More Half-Wind
Herald. Oh, yeah. I need to finish that episode. No, wait. Yeah, I need to finish that episode. Yeah. She has an interesting backstory with her family. It's sort of, like, it's marginally interesting. She has history with Iria. And I just like playing Iria, so I like wouldn't mind playing her more, but I also like playing Galena. So yeah, just bringing up her history and like going into cities and doing more like stealth or infiltration missions.
Right. I mean, I guess that's another way to answer it is there, besides backstory, is there something you'd want to see your character do that they haven't done yet? I guess that's another...
Have a huge concert and like a legit, this is cool, sort of. Also, go to an underground club where fairies are reading magic EDM music.
Oh, dang.
Okay, Alex, is there something you'd like to see happen next time with regards to your character?
There's a couple things, I guess, that they might get cut out because I don't really know how much James wants to spoil. Obviously, Dupe's like main thing at the moment is fulfilling his oath to the hammer, but I don't really care as much about that. I mean, as Alex, I don't care as much about that. That's Dupe's priority.
Mm-hmm.
As Alex, I care more about finding Connor's aunt, but I don't really know exactly how. I guess one thing I wish that I did a better job of in the last episode as Dupe, I wish I had played out better, I guess, that Dupe would no longer be sticking with the party. So yeah, I don't know if James wants to leave that in or not.
I think that's gonna come across pretty well. I feel like one thing we discussed out of character that we should probably mention is that when duped took the oath, he was thinking, I'm going to kill the Empress, as well as the Nothing That Listens. So his oath is only half fulfilled. And so he's going to be marching off into the distance and possibly become an NPC. Maybe he'll switch back to it. But if Alex wants to keep playing with us, we're probably going to have to switch him to something else, because otherwise we're going to be doing completely separate games, which would be rough.
Yeah, I'd be okay with switching to something else. One thing I kind of wish would have happened during the last episode, particularly during the fighting, is before Dupe went unconscious, I wish that Galena had tried to heal him, only because he would have tried to resist it.
Oh, you were telling me this, like, I don't know if any of the listeners have played Darkest Dungeon, but there's a great mechanic, we were talking about this, Alex and I, where the people have crises of faith and madness, very Cthulhu setting, but you will have a person who becomes paranoid or, like, hopeless, and then when you have your healer try to heal that person in the party, they're like, no, you're trying to hurt me, or, like, no, it's my time to go, or... And they will resist the heal. And it's one of those moments in the game where you're like, oh no, this is so bad. We're all going to die because one person has just lost his mind.
So stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, given Dupe's situation, you would think about maybe playing a new hero?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I have other characters that I've played in the past that we could potentially bring in. One of whom you have briefly seen.
Oh yeah!
Already?
Well, yeah.
Was it the green eyed warlock?
The Eladrin, you mean?
It was the Eladrin.
Sure, that one. Yeah, was it him?
Yeah.
On a unicorn.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
We're gonna have to have some more burlesque Eladrin dancing.
Oh gosh.
All right. So Winter, is there anything that you'd be looking forward to or hoping to explore in the next, I guess, season, if we can get to there?
I mean, I know exactly why it happened, but the whole orc thing got really kind of cut down. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that aspect of the story got kind of short shrifted because of Sten leaving.
And then, like, I guess, of course, going back to Camels and seeing what kind of chaos I've accidentally wrought there.
And accidentally doing exactly what's expected of a god?
No, look, it's fine. Probably fine. Fine.
I think we mentioned this in a previous episode, but James and I were talking about how Winter / Sariel does not want to be a god, and in doing so, she's doing exactly what a god would do.
Oh no.
And I get a bit of a kick out of that.
Yes, you showed up as the mysterious stranger in the scripture to give them assistance and direction.
Hey guys, what are you doing? What's this god all about? I mean, that seems okay. Here's a mission, I'll pay you. Be nice to each other, get some good food, have some heals. Okay, bye.
And yay, did the Sariel appear in rags to guide us in our darkest time.
What about you, Molly? Are you hoping Eden might run into Avery again, or is there something else in the world that you're curious about?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, now that you mention it, seeing Avery again would be cool, but I think Eden needs to open an Eve's Lucky Coin franchise and expand all over the continent.
Perfect.
I think that's definitely your number one priority. I would like to see if Quinn gets any kind of redemptive arc. And I would like to get a big, like, owl petting zoo together and teach them to do tricks and do, like, a traveling show.
Eve definitely knows some tricks.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, it's pretty cool. Was it my turn then?
Yeah.
And then I'd like to see next time. I mean, seeing Keisha's backstory would be cool. But it's all sort of, I feel like we got what we needed from it. We touched on the Endicott, Gan, Medina, and Obelik. I guess I'm just pretty interested in seeing what happens with Connor, just because I'm invested in that character. And learning more about the NPCs. And hopefully seeing a moment where Odette gets to be a badass and actually not miss her shots.
Well, she did get to be a badass, but only against you, which is truly, in true RPG fashion, the person, the moment they join your party, becomes useless, even though, in this case, their stats didn't change at all. It's just, like, the way the dice came down.
And, I guess there's one other thing, is and it's a big one. It's, like, I am very curious to see how the hell Geisha's Stone Touched works now. That was a big one.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that was kind of a big plot hole that was left unfilled in.
So, plot hole. I feel like I can fill that in now, because real quick, tell me what you guys think is going on.
In terms of what?
In terms of the fact of what happened with Gige and Eden and Sten. Not the lamp part of Sten, but like before.
I'm confused. That's way too vague.
Do you mean the fact that we're elementals?
Yeah. Like, what do you think that's about?
Vilna's also an elemental.
Mm-hmm.
I make people wet.
Oh, no.
You were waiting to say that, weren't you?
No.
Okay.
She doesn't need a reason to say that. She just occasionally drops it.
Something about dragons? I know dragons in your game tends to be elemental, but it's kind of all I got.
Anyone else?
Because it's cool.
It is cool. I agree.
So our answers are dragons and cool.
Winter, you have anything
Emmanuel
to add?
Emmanuel cool.
Oh yes, Emmanuel cool. I like that NPC.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Amanda?
We're the Avatar.
Awesome. Okay. Alright. I guess you guys will figure it out next time.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
I thought you guys knew.
You really overestimate, mainly me. Like, you really overestimate my intelligence.
I think I'm just being too vague, but that's fine. I kind of like the idea that you still don't know what's going on. It's fine.
I mean, it works better in character for me. If I knew, I would be, it would be hard to not, what's the word?
Speak?
Yeah, that's hard. But yeah, basically it's fine that I don't know.
I'm going to revisit the previous answer and say that we're secretly cool dragons, i.e. lizard people.
Okay. Sounds legit.
No, I'm honestly not sure what you're asking, but I think it's elemental stuff and dragons. I wish I knew more about the elemental plane and how it fits in D&D, but I'm sure it's really that somehow.
Yeah, and Lord knows if Mark doesn't know what you're asking, I am never going to figure out what you're asking.
I mean, I had ideas. I mean, when I first, I think we've discussed before, but I first approached James with a world and a story and stuff. So I know what I suggested. I don't know how he's tweaked things along the way.
Oh, I've definitely taken your stuff in a different direction because I don't want you knowing what's going on.
Yeah, understandable.
From the very beginning, especially.
But yeah, so I don't know. Dragons? Question mark.
Yeah, dragons? Question mark. I like that Geese just thinks he's more cursed now, and
he'll know what's going on when Connor tells him, or Eden.
Okay, and I think you guys will find that out next time. I will just change your character sheets appropriately. Don't worry about nothing.
What? Why?
You know, Geesh gets to cast Stone Skin every once in a while.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, I got that, yeah.
That kind of business. He might have a little bit more constitution than he did before. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Okay. How about favorite moment and least favorite moment? You guys want to do that one?
Sure.
All right, you first, girl.
My favorite moment was when I turned into a puff and Projectile pooped onto a guy that distracted him and we got away.
That was legit. It was so good.
I gotta give you credit. You own when something silly happens to Galena.
Yep.
You really own it. Me, I would probably get like super antsy, but you're just like, boom, let's go. Go time.
You'd be an anxious puffin.
And what was your least favorite?
Performance anxiety puffin. Just dribbles out the back.
That's disgusting, James.
Least favorite? Probably when everyone was freaking dying.
That tracks.
Yep. And then when Sariel killed my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, that also tracks.
I love that Winter has zero remorse over it. Just like, whatever.
Sariel didn't like him. It's fine.
All right, then what about you, Alex?
My favorite moment as a listener, sorry, Amanda, is when Galena got, like, murked by, like, a bunch of ninja dudes. That was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Mostly just because it was unexpected.
Yeah, I remember we all got pretty cross with James when he did that.
I'm sorry. I'm not, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Probably favorite in character, or, well, while I was playing. Probably being Moop is probably it. Mostly because I didn't expect that to happen after, like, desecrating a religious monument.
Yeah, I feel like at my home games, there's a lot of times where I'm just like, nope, doesn't work, don't even roll.
Yeah, you're a dick.
Yep.
And it's great.
Aw, thanks.
Better when you're drunk, though.
Yep.
We speak not of those games.
I speak of those games very often.
James is funny when he's drunk.
He's very entertaining.
Are you the strippers that I ordered?
Maybe. Oh, another favorite is when Galena, like, puppeteered me. Or Dupe. Oh. That was pretty great.
So, Dupe hated it, but Alex liked it.
Yeah, I was like, this is fantastic. Dupe is so mad, but this is great.
That is the best mentality to have as a player, is to be able to disconnect from, like, know that your character is mad, but, like, you're just having fun because the story is cool.
Yeah, which is another reason why I kind of wish why Glenna would have tried to heal Dupe when he was actually capable of thought.
Yeah.
But anyways, if only. Yeah. Least favorite, strangely, the angel showing up. That was not what Dupe had in mind, or what I had in mind. I was like,
yeah.
This seems to have made things worse.
That was something that I go back to occasionally and think about, and I'm unsure whether I made the right decision, but I feel like when you put your fate in the hands of others, that's what you get, is someone else's decision.
Oh yeah, I didn't really have a problem with, yeah, like, you choosing to do that. It was more just, well, yeah, it was just very unexpected. But it did lead to a fun, like, flying around battle, which was cool.
Yo, that anime fight, though.
It was pretty great, except that we failed.
You know what? I feel like we would have succeeded, but James had to have things go a certain way. I was like, what the hell, James? We're doing really good with our cool anime fight. What's going on?
I mean, the fight would have gone up until a certain point. Like, the spell would have started to get cast no matter what. It's whether it got finished.
I will say this. During that, because it wasn't, like, a battle, it was a skills challenge battle, it felt like every success was a failure.
Yeah, it was hard to tell if we were doing good or not.
Yeah, I can understand how it felt that way. Because the spell was progressing, getting closer to being done, no matter what. But it was getting closer to being done because, like, failures had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So on the first failure, there was the temple gets destroyed. Second failure, like, this happens. Third failure, this happens. But if you succeed, like, it stops there.
Mm.
That was the way that worked mechanically. So, right. But I can understand that you were like, oh no, it's bad things are happening. Why?
I was like, why are we all of a sudden in the DC universe? This blows.
Oh no, it got too dark.
Everything's room dark.
I was like, why do I feel like no matter what we're doing right now, nothing is helping?
That is a valid complaint, and something that I try to get away from, and I always get drawn back to it, is being too dark.
I don't, like, myself, I don't really care. It's just, like, at the time, you're like, I have no idea what to do now, because I'm trying to do things that are useful, but they seem to not be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Winter, what are your answers?
Oh, man. I'm all about that stuff that, like, unintentionally gives us allies. Oh, snap, we have a manicore. Oh, snap, we have two manicore.
Yeah.
Oh, snap, James killed our second manicore.
So things that was pretty rad. My favorite incidence of that would probably have to be I rolled a couple critical successes, and then we had mushroom buddies.
Yes, that was you.
That was pretty neat. Like, here's this eldritch horror. Diplomacy.
I don't feel like it was like that. I feel like you gave me an idea that made sense. And you did the check, and you took that information that I gave you and did something else that even made even more sense. And you happened to roll really well.
One of those, like, happy coincidences. That'd probably be my favorite moment. I'm trying to think of, like, a moment I didn't really enjoy. And I know we would have, like, you have really good games, then you have games that maybe don't go so great. Like, things just don't go as smoothly. But I honestly can't think of a moment from one of those right now.
They do tend to be more forgettable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair.
When James killed our manicore.
Yeah.
No.
Not like that.
No, because that honestly, like, made sense. I can't really be mad about that.
No, I'll be mad about it.
Mark can be mad about it. I won't steal Mark's answer.
I'll be mad about it.
Okay.
Molly, what about you? Favorite moment and least favorite moment?
Oh, this is a tough one, dudes.
Give it your best. As you saw, Winter didn't even have an actual least favorite, so.
Favorite was probably when Eden got her magic dragon superpowers.
Is that when you got Steel Wind Strike?
I believe so. It was. If it wasn't, then it was around the same time.
I think you had it before then, but that's when you switched classes to Dragon Blood Sorcerer.
Right, right.
And what about least favorite?
Least favorite. This one's hard. I honestly am not sure. I genuinely can't think of one. I mean, there were plenty of low moments, but nothing that really stood out as a least favorite for me.
Okay. I guess I am the next person. Mm-hmm. Favorite moment. There's a lot of good moments. I don't know if I have a favorite moment. Anything that jumps out at me? Honestly, it's kind of silly, but I think one of my favorite moments was the end of the Gige only episode, because I felt like that's a thing that Gige would feel is something that he imagines it would go, and it went for the most part how he wanted it to. You know, he met up with Dupe, he delivered the thing. Basically, he achieved his tasks. And he's like, oh shoot, my friend is in trouble. I'm going to go save the day. Like, I feel like it's perfectly idiosyncratic for Gige, that moment. Off to go save my friend. Bring in the backup. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that everything went according to plan?
Pretty much.
Okay.
My least favorite moment, there's two. My first least favorite moment was way back when, and that was Uster dying.
Oh, that was a bad time.
Yeah. So, and I guess, I mean, people probably got this listening to it, but like, Gige coming into the town, he's basically just a madman. Like, people just think he's this crazy guy who lives by himself. So here's a person who probably would actually sit with him and talk and have a drink if the situation presented itself. And oddly enough, I wasn't even mad at you, James. Like, I was bummed, but I understood the situation. So for Gige, that was like, I feel like that started his descent of bad times. I mean, he towards the end, he's come out of it. But the second least favorite moment for me as a player, strongly as a player, Feywild.
Oh, really?
Just, oh my God, the suffering. I can't, all the things, the fairies, and then frogs, and then we're tiny, and then I don't know. I don't understand this. It's Gige's, I don't know what to do, I don't know what this is. Educated ladies, please roll Arcana at this, but it's for me, and then like times 100. It's just some fey nonsense, and I don't get it. And I'm trying to stab things, but there's magic, and I don't get that either. So I guess that's my answer.
So my favorite moment was the Feywild.
There you go. You would.
No, I think my favorite moment, I mean, the Feywild was great. There were, I also really enjoyed doing the dream sequence with Sariel.
Oh, that was fun.
The Dusky Death, but we talked about that before. My favorite moments were doing the solo episodes with everybody. It was kind of an out-of-character decision, an out-of-game decision to be like, we can't meet up this week all at the same time, and we're going to be behind, so let's all meet up individually with me and do solo episodes, because it makes sense, because you're all splitting up. And my least favorite thing was also those episodes, because every single one of them, I was like, this is awesome. I love having, especially characters who aren't Mark, because...
You know, I get it. No,
Mark very often is in the foreground, making decisions, doing stuff, being like, hey, Scooby Gang, what are we going to do next? But then being like, we're going to do this. Having everyone do their decisions and see how they acted. Having a whole episode of Eric. Having a whole episode of Amanda. At the end of each one, especially with Molly, I felt like, yeah, we have to wrap up because we're at like 2.5 hours. But I want to see what happens next. We have so much more time to fill narratively, like time that you could be doing things. And most of them, I felt very rushed at the end, which I was just like, I wish I could just do another one. But then that would have been a lot of one person, and I didn't want to do that for the listener's sake. Also, it would have been unfair, because I feel like I know some of you could roleplay for days, just like Amanda and Mark especially, I feel like would be the worst offenders.
Hey, that's a compliment, girl. Take it as a compliment.
You would just be like, I want to hang out in this town and talk to people. And I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah. Let's talk to people.
Yeah.
And then no, it would be 4 episodes later and you're still in Black Hill. And I'm like, you need to go to the other place.
I explained to, like, related. I promise this is not a huge tangent. I explained to people this game that I have called Red Dragon Inn. And it's like you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, except that you're in an inn and you're drinking and you're trying not to pass out drunk. And then I stop and I think and I go, actually, that's kind of like the Dungeons & Dragons games I play.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No, yep. I very much am into the wasting time and talking to people. Don't but at the same time.
Only episode.
Yeah, also it would have been nice to have a Duke-only episode, but at that point we didn't know that you were a main character yet.
Right, but you should not do one.
Oh, okay.
Definitely don't.
All right, fine.
Everyone will die.
Though I will point out, I did share, while a very small bit, I did share my Geesh-only episode with Dupe, so.
Yes, you did. Very graciously so.
Oh. I like Dupe. Dupe's a fun character.
I don't know why you like Dupe.
I feel like Dupe and Geesh are coming from similar places, and they could have some bro moments, but Dupe's still in his moody place.
He's so much more abrasive than I ever intended him to be at this point.
So James, what was something that we seem to be oblivious about that drove you nuts? I mean, I guess us being elementals.
Besides everything.
Yeah. What was the most egregious sin on our part?
I don't think there were moments that were the most egregious. I think there was one that was almost there, and it was when you were actually getting your checkbook, basically. And everyone was like, hey, don't go in there alone. Make sure there's witnesses. And then you went in there alone.
Okay. In my defense, I would have done that. But I was like, I'm running my face too much. I'm going to let someone else take the reins.
Now, that's a thing. That's something when out of character stuff
that's
makes you.
That's a terrible idea.
And see, and this is why I have to run my face.
But you guys pulled out of that one. I'm not sure if you really were aware of what you did to pull out of it.
Oh, yeah, no. You said some pretty sharp things real quick to make sure we didn't all get murked.
Yeah, you basically said I have a meeting with this very important person you know right after this. And they were like, oh, okay, hold on. Let us go check before we murder you.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, he does. Okay, cool. Because
oh,
you were cool
him.
With
we can't
Lehu.
Kill him today. Yeah.
You had done a good job of actually being friendly to Lehu before that.
So he was willing to
cover you.
Lehu's cool people. I mean, we didn't have to fight him, so. Anyone we don't have to fight and doesn't want to fight us later, more or less becomes our friend. At least we like to think they're our friend. We think yeah. Zelnihithros is our friend.
Mostly, the only times where I was like, please, please, please just do something. It doesn't matter what you do. Just do something. Because there are often times where you guys kind of reached decision paralysis, where you're like, we could do this, this, or this. And then your decision was to do none of those and instead wait or try to get more information. But you'd already spent a session gathering information.
Right, right.
And most of the time, when you do something, there's always a way to make it cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only when you guys were worrying too much. Yes, faffing about. Well, faffing about is good times as well. What was that, Alex?
Unbreakable Temple?
the aggressive loitering episode?
Yes.
Correct.
That one was pretty great.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't quite understand what's happening there, so that might have led to things.
I don't think anyone knew.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is you basically stuck around long enough that the NPCs were just like, okay, fine. I guess you want to fight. Actually, I think Amanda was the one who finally chose to do something.
Yeah.
Which was actually something I talked to Amanda about when she joined the podcast, was I know you are prone to just, when talking gets too frustrating, to throwing a knife as Iria.
Yep.
If you can tone that back just a little bit, that's good.
Hey.
But I also need that in this party, because they're prone to faffing about. They're prone to indecision. And sometimes it's good to start something.
When I first started playing Dungeons & Dragons with James and Alex and their friend Fotino, I think out of all of us, I had the most experience with tabletop RPG, I think, at that point. So I was kind of the steamroller at the beginning, I feel. And then James took me aside and was like, Amanda, let the other one speak. So I had been more aware of that since.
I like how rational you make me sound. What was that, Alex?
At that point, my experience level was zero.
Yeah, and I definitely have impulsive behaviors where it's just like, and then we do this, and then I grab that fire-breathing turtle.
And let him bite Dupe's butt. Thanks.
Sorry.
So, we'll just quick shoot through this next one. Each of us pick a moment in which shame surprised us. It just completely just caught you flat-footed. You're like, what?
Getting f***ing beat up by those guys. Getting almost deaded.
Alex.
Moop showing up. Angel showing up. See, that's pretty much it. Oh, Oost missing an arm? I don't know. That was weird.
She told someone because she's a spy. I mean, well, I didn't say that. Winter.
Just now when James was like, you guys should have talked to Sal.
No, man. That price is too steep. Don't want to Sal's business. Molly.
I don't know if this really counts because I kind of knew that it was going to happen eventually. I just didn't know when. But finding out where Quinn was and kind of sort of what he was doing and that I was going to get a chance to meet him soon.
That was an occurrence of good, solid, I'm going to take an action is when Eden finds out that her brother's somewhere. She's like, okay, bye, guys. I'm leaving. I'm going that way.
I have a very similar answer, and that even though I knew it might have happened, when Odette popped up. I mean, I knew she might pop up at some point, but when it actually happened, I'm like, how do I play this interaction and the background between the two? And like, what would be the correct and appropriate way for Geesh to respond? And that just completely surprised me, I guess, even though I kind of knew it was coming, similar to you, Molly. And if it's too much for you, James, ideally, if you can name a moment where we each of us surprised you, because I always love hearing when we surprise you. But if you'd prefer, you can just give us one moment where we all kind of surprised you.
I may not have it moments for everybody. I was surprised when Dupe decided to take an extremely magical object and try to break a statue that he knew was invulnerable and like symbolically relevant, which I thought was a... There are lots of times where I shouldn't be so surprised because I'm like, oh my god, they did something smart. Oh no, I never expected this.
Ha ha ha.
I don't think that was smart, but...
you may not have thought it through super well, but the moment you did it, I was like, oh, this is thematically relevant, at the very least. Let's see. There are a bunch of just small things. Usually in skills challenges where people come up with really, like, cool stuff to do. Eden being like, I'm gonna sleep one of those riders, and then I'm gonna take his mount and fly over. It'll be fine. Because I could have just said, I fly over, and, you know, use acrobatics to dodge, but that's boring. Like, doing something really cool with your action is always a neat thing that I'm always thrilled about. I'm not so sure if it's surprised, but unless we're taking in that, oh no, they had a good idea. How did this happen?
Yeah. You're being sassy.
That's fair, honestly.
I don't know. I'm a little bit at a loss. Most of the time, I think a lot about the things you could do. And so I often am relatively prepared when you take an action.
All right, then. I guess all that's left to talk about now is what we're going to do next. There is going to be a next, right?
Hypothetically, yes. So I know in the meantime, while we're on our hiatus, some people wanted to run games. I believe that Amanda wanted to run something, not D&D.
Yes. Yeah, so probably over the summer when I have a little more time to think, I have a tabletop game called Doctor Who Adventures in Time and Space, but the way that I run it is usually in a way that isn't about Doctor Who, just in case people don't know or care about Doctor Who, and it's just like a contemporary science fiction universe. Yeah, and I would have fun because I like writing, I like making stories, I like role playing, and I like making mysteries and frustrating people. Like, oh, James, fine. I guess. Yep.
We'll see who's like, more frustrating.
I also like really surreal stuff, so have fun with that, guys.
Awesome. Are you thinking like a one-shot or a short arc?
I was at first thinking one-shot, and then I thought a short arc might be fun, like 3 episodes or something like that.
Well, then shoot for a one-shot, because then it will take longer than you think.
Yeah.
And Winter, were you thinking of running something?
I would like to learn to GM. I've got a bunch of friends that are like, man, that D&D thing's really cool, but I don't have anyone to GM. That's something I'm interested in.
There's a lot of people who really feel like they can't. Like, it's too much work, and it's just, like, a thing that other people can do, but they can't somehow, for some reason. But it's not as hard as you think it is. Especially if you're playing with people who aren't jerks.
Right?
Like, there are occasionally people who say, you're doing it wrong. And you say, no, I'm the GM. I'm doing it my way.
Left to my own devices, I would probably eventually figure out, like, baby's first D&D GM adventures.
Mm.
Now there's a children's book someone
It's just, like, really simply explained, but then there's, like, descriptions of horrific violence.
So that'll be neat. I'm looking forward to that. I was thinking there's a great video series that I've been watching recently by Matthew Colville, Running the Game, and it's a bunch of very simple how to make a single encounter kind of business and how to make the characters be like, yeah, there's stuff over there. Go do it. Kind of stuff. And I think his ideas are eloquently put and interesting.
Well, that would give me something to listen to.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else who wants to take a swing at something while we're on break? Not that if you don't say it now, we won't let you do it.
I would probably be cool with trying something.
Cool. I'd be down to play. That's the thing.
I want to play in all the games.
No, you can't play in mine, James.
Aw.
Oh, no.
I want to see how all of you GM. I think that's the best part.
Mark, are you planning to run anything in the meantime?
Yeah, probably, maybe, sort of. I mean, I could. I don't know.
But don't need to learn don't more plan things. Your magnum opus.
No.
Something for sure.
No, I know. Like, because even you know what you're doing, and you're like, oh, this will take like, you know, 3 weeks, and then it takes 6 months. Yeah. No, I get it.
Well, if you want something to take as long as you think it's going to take, you make it railroady. You're like, okay, you're done with that. Next thing. And they're like, how did we get there? And you're like, you walked there. And they're like, but we didn't want to. No, you did.
The universe compelled you.
Mm-hmm. You don't leave an elaborate breadcrumb. They just teleport from location to location with narrative in between.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I give it a shot if there's interest. And I feel I'm up to snuff for it.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm excited to play in all of these. I'm wondering if I've rubbed off on any of you, and would be even more excited if you just bring your own schnoz to the table. Because I really love games that are less realistic and more like cartoony, or like, what's the word I'm looking for?
I can help you
with
that.
Spider Pig.
Yeah, like, silly and fun. And I am just incapable of running those games.
You mean Civic Duty?
I feel like Civic Duties, Mark was running a game for a short period of time. I think we did four sessions?
Yeah, I think we did three or four. But of course we had to stop because James was getting super busy.
I felt like the tone yo-yoed wildly.
What? It's a silly cartoon with serious moments. Come on now.
Between Eldritch Horror of you're going to get like tentacle attacked by a scary witch with a zipper face to like Team Rocket. Blasting off again, like the next fight, and I was very confused by it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a weird insight into Mark. That laugh is not reassuring.
But yeah, what were we saying before I apparently turned momentarily evil?
We were talking about what we're doing next, and I feel like we're going to put out inconsistent, but some stuff, so don't take us off your podcast list yet. There will be occasionally stuff.
Or your Patreon subscription.
Oh, yeah. You better keep paying us, because we deserve the money while we lounge with our mimosas on the beach.
Well, apparently, like, 50% of us go through their PhDs.
What I think James means is, if you want to continue to support us on Patreon, that's great, but you don't have to. But that's where we're at, so don't be surprised if you've not seen stuff appearing.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Thing anyone else wants to mention about what they thought about what's going on?
I enjoyed it very much. Thank you, James. I did not expect you to run with this when I approached you with the idea literally years ago.
Well, I didn't expect it to last more than a couple episodes. So it was enjoyable, and I didn't expect people to stick around after the end of the first season, especially. I was like, I've scared them. I've adequately turned them all off of D&D by now. but when everyone else was like, I want to keep playing, I was like, oh, dope.
Cool. I think we can refine skills challenges, but everything else about your game is pretty fun.
All right. And I feel like we should give an extra special thanks to our new patrons, which I feel bad like we haven't had an out-of-character episode in a while. First, I would like to thank River Raptor. Thank you very much for donating. And Thomas L. Both of you have cushioned the blow from keeping the podcast on the internet and our subscription to our what we record on and the various wires that have had to be replaced and the like. Thank you all for your support, and we will see you in some quantity of time.
Sooner than later, hopefully.
Rather than later, hopefully. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Bye.
Bye.
I wave at my computer.